Welcome back to another brand new episode of What's She On About. I'm Mitzi.
And I'm Kat. Catfish.
This is the podcast where we chat about life, infatuations, pop culture, and my obsession with Idris Elba. My God. I mean, I'm trying not to look at him completely shaved because I do feel that that's doing some things and not in a good way for him in my eyes. I don't know. I don't think I like him clean shaven.
Oh, that's right.
I prefer more stubble. Gives him a more grizzly,
manly,
well-lived. I don't know. I like the salt and pepper that he's got going on in his little, like, beard and his, what you call it. I mean, though shaving it doesn't really diminish it that much. It diminishes it by, like, maybe 1 degree. Just 1 degree of hotness. Like, going from 120 to, like, 119 Celsius. I'm just saying.
What?
Fahrenheit.
Celsius.
I don't know. Celsius, Fahrenheit. Yes, it's hotness. The level of hotness, okay?
Have you seen, like, all of his square commercials?
The Squarespace?
Yeah.
I saw the full one. The one that's, like, literally, like, 2 minutes long, which is hilarious. There's two. There's one where it's him and his assistant by the boxing ring, which I think is hilarious. And then there's the one that, I can't remember the name of that director. Spike Jones? It might be Spike Jones. The Spike Jones one where he's at one point, he's like in the corner and then he's going through all these different like jobs where he's like a chef and a whole bunch of other things. Singing this song.
Que sera, sera?
Yeah, singing that song, Que sera, sera.
I just actually saw that one today and I was like, oh, has she seen this yet? Is she bubbling?
Of course I have. This is why I'm back to having like the severe Idris problem. Idrisitis is at an all-time high. Okay?
Wow.
Okay? It's at an all-time high.
Ha. You sound like a South Park character. Ha. Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I need assistance. For you.
I mean, I feel like it's all for naught. But I was strolling the gram and came across a pretty handsome designer fellow.
Yeah. Who would that be?
And I'm not a betting girl.
Uh-huh.
But if I put money on it,
yeah,
I would guess that he might be Haitian.
He might be.
Because his name is Davidson Petitfre. Don't let the super Haitian name fool you.
Super. Oh my God, I'm gonna choke.
Here, you want to get some water?
Oh my God, Davidson. That is totally
Davidson.
Davidson, right? Of course, I have to pronounce it correctly. But my God, what a Haitian first name!
I mean, that's pretty. It's pretty up there in terms of Haitianness. I mean, unless his name was Bonjour Donné.
Yes, Je Donné.
Je Donné. Bonjour Bon or something like that, or Je Bon.
I mean, we have a Je Donné in the family.
Crazy. Wait, who?
Danny! That's his first name!
No, it's not.
I hand to Christ! Yes, it is!
I thought it was Vladimir.
No, his name is Vladimir Jordané.
Oh, wow. I did not. We need sound effects because this is when the bomb will be dropped. I thought we escaped all those super Haitian names.
Nah, man. Way. That is his name. I gotta tell you. And we learned that, God, he must have been 25 or something when we realized that Danny wasn't even his first name.
Holy moly.
Right. You were 0 hours old when you realized.
Yes, I was today years old.
Yeah, that's one of his government names, girl.
Wow. Well, you learn something new every day,
folks. I do. But I am well aware of Mr. Petit Frère. Because, because
I prefer to say Davidson.
Davidson. Bon Dieu. That is one dapper, sexy dude. Okay.
Right.
Very, very dapper, very sexy, very like. I mean, obviously, he's a designer, so I don't know that he's ever stepping out, not looking fresh to death, but whew, Lord.
Yeah.
It's like, sir. Yes, he does.
He wears a good suit.
He does. And I think that translates to his work, obviously, because he is.
For sure.
I mean, he does all of Jay-Z's suits.
Right.
I think he's been doing his stuff for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
And definitely Jamie on Power, his suits.
He's really? Ghost suits? Y'all, nice.
And I know what everyone's thinking. How could you think a guy who's Haitian, Davidson, is attractive and doesn't remind you of your cousin when Idris Elba reminds you of my dad?
Damn, good question.
But I don't know. Something about him doesn't seem so familial. At least not yet.
I don't know. I'm looking. I don't see it at all. I don't see any family resemblance.
Are you looking at Davidson?
I'm looking at Davidson. You know, I completely rebuke your claims that he looks like your daddy. Okay. I rebuke him. I reject them. I don't accept them. Damn it.
It's a young Michelle, circa 1976.
Stop it. Damn it.
I cannot do it.
No. Yeah, even casual, he looks fabulous. Look at him.
No, I think I definitely prefer him in a suit, not casual. Just saying. Oh, no, there's this one thing where he's wearing like
a camel coat
and some ripped jeans. I can get behind that. He just has a very good physique for a tailored suit.
In fact, let this
be a lesson to a gentleman of how a suit should fit you.
I don't know, but yo, look at his latest picture, man, in like some, like a leather jacket and like almost a turtleneck. Still looking freaking like a hot damn Haitian snack, I can tell you that.
Like a good piece of grill.
Yeah.
He's still wearing slacks though, so I don't feel like it's, while it's not a suit, I still feel like it's dressed up.
Wow.
That's a bonjour grill.
That's right.
That's get my fill.
Yeah. Do enjoy that fritai.
Oh yes.
That is a very good choice.
He's hot like Peakley's.
You listen to the read, right?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. And they totally mispronounced that.
Pickle-iz,
I think they called it.
So bad.
I was like, wait a minute.
The first time Pickle-iz, I heard
that sounds very.
And then when they started reading the letter and the girl was like, yeah, I'm Haitian, I was like, yeah, they're trying to say
and
Peakley's.
And it still didn't click in. Yeah.
Well, she said, it's funny because the next week they said that so many people wrote in to correct them and also like let them know what Peakley's actually is and how to pronounce it and all the rest of it. I just thought it was so funny.
It was hilarious.
I was in the car like yelling at the radio. I was like, oh my God, Crystal, you're saying it wrong.
Right. So wrong.
Bonjour.
I was at my desk. Sneak listening.
Oh my God, can you listen to that at work?
I have my headphones on.
No, I'm just saying, I'd be cracking up all the time.
Right, and that was the one time I was just like, oh, it's gonna come out. Because this is clearly Peakley's, and you are screwing it up. Speaking of laugh out loud, I've laughed out like 3 times on the subway, on the way to work, by the way, at reading Misadventures of an Awkward Black Girl.
Oh, that book was so good. I have to read it again.
I feel like it's kind of all over it jumps around a lot.
Yeah, because I think it's just got like a bunch of essays, right? So she just does a bunch of stories, no?
Yeah, I guess. But I feel like the chapters, like there's chapters and they're titled. So anyway, whatever it is, it's freaking hilarious. And I know people think I'm crazy because I'll just be on a train, busting out laughing. Because in my mind, I'm reading it in her voice.
Right, of course, the way she sounds.
So when she says something funny or dry or sarcastic, I'm like, yes.
I can get behind this.
Mm-hmm.
I remember really liking that book. I remember as I was reading it, she was one of the things she dealt with, not dealt with, but one of the things she talked about was like people touching her hair or like randos wanting to touch her hair. And she'd be like, are your hands clean? Like, I don't know where your hands have been. Just to get people to stop and think about like how stupid it sounds to just ask somebody like, can I touch your hair? Oh, like an absolute stranger.
That's, you know what I mean? So funny. I mean, I'm almost at the end, but I haven't heard that part yet. What tickled me the most were her classifications of different blacks. Like the militant black, the powerful, the ghetto black, and how to deal with them, and what phrases you could use. Like, right, like the super militant, you'll be like, no, what'd she say? Just run, don't stay, because whatever you do is going to be a problem. But then there's the ones that are woke, and then you're like, I feel you, you matter. Phrases that work with that. You want to get something to eat? I feel you. I can't even do it justice right now.
She is so good.
That had me dying. And so many things we have in common. Like, she was a pescatarian for a while.
Yeah, you were too. And you did really good with that too. Like, you did that for like, that's why I knew you could do the keto thing, because you were like, okay, I'm doing this. And then it was like, no joke, even when you'd come to a family event where there was like meats on meats on meats, because hello, that's how we do. And you still were like really good with it.
Yeah, but I don't know where that bit of willpower and dedication came from, because I'm failing at keto.
Are you? Is it because, do you think you took a step, not a step back, but do you think you fell back when over the break where you just couldn't do it?
Yeah, 10 days of consecutive alcohol, it does kind of change your palate where you're like, oh, fuck it. And then I'm trying to like catch up like every week. I'm like, okay, Monday, we're back on it.
We'll try again.
And now with this new job, they literally have a party for everything. So it's like, and I'm not to the point yet where I could be like, no, or I can be, but for some reason I haven't found it in me to deny.
Right, because you're new and you don't want to seem like, oh, I don't want to be down, and like, no, I can okay. Still, I can be a part of this, and I'm one of you now. Please accept me.
And I'll be like, oh, okay, I'll just have a tiny, tiny piece. And then that tiny piece really just changes your palate. And since I'm pretty much an addict, one tiny piece leads to another tiny piece, leads to a whole damn cake and a cupcake.
It's tough.
And Reese's peanut butter cups and movie popcorn.
It is definitely, definitely tough.
I don't know what a serving is, and I don't care to learn. So I just leave it at that. Just leave it in the store.
That's so funny.
Just leave it in the store. Because then it's like dumb. Like, really, you're supposed to have half a cookie? Like, that's the serving? Get the hell out of here.
I know, the servings are, I mean, it just sets you up for failure. It really does.
It's crazy. Then why'd you put so many in a box?
That's what I'm saying. Man, I forgot what store I went to. This is back when they were first putting those labels on. And I think it was like a brownie or something. And I was like, okay, this looks like a one size serving brownie. And then I looked on the back and it said it was for like 2.5 people. And I was like, nah. And I forgot who I was talking to. And they were like, yeah, that's pretty big for one person. And I'm like, what you mean? This is a regular size brownie in the United. That's what it was. I was in the UK. So I was like, this is a regular size brownie in the US.
Our portions are just dumb compared to like Europeans.
Yeah.
Or outside.
Oh, so wait, you must have missed the chapter about hair. It was where she was talking about how all the questions that people ask about the hair, like, and how people are just so confused by black people hair. So questions like, is it real? It's so soft. I wasn't expecting that. Can I touch it? How did you get your hair like that? And I think she was just saying like, what are her different like answers for it? So can I touch it? She was like, a simple, are your hands clean? Not only infantilizes the request, but it also sends the message that your hair isn't the sheep exhibit at the petting zoo.
No, I haven't gotten to that any hair parts, which is weird because, like I said, I'm almost finished.
Oh yeah, because this is like mid book. 114.
What?
Yeah. Should you decide to decline the request, a polite "I'd rather you not" should do the trick. If you see that the asker's spirit is crushed and you're inclined to care, simply qualify your denial with "I'm very tender-headed." Like, oh my god, if you touch me. No, it's the same book. I saw the cover that the baby had. It's the same book.
What the hell?
It's the chapter called ABG Guide, The Hair Advantage.
This ABG Guide, The Black Experience or something like that. But not. Wait, I'm going to get the book. Well, I'll have to look into that.
You're like, wait, I'm going to get the book.
Because what the hell, dude?
Yeah, I'm almost done. Yeah, it's the middle of the book. ABG Guide, Connecting with Other Blacks. Maybe you're not finished with the book. Because this is the part you were talking about, the gamut of blackness. It's so wide.
Yes. Yes.
So very wide. The 10%
and she's like,
black.
It could change depending on what's going on in the world, in society. We might have new ones. Some might turn into one.
I like the, you're right. The key phrases are hilarious. The 10% back black. I don't know. Really? Where's the chicken? Cast down your bucket.
Cast the, down your bucket.
The basic black.
Yeah,
key phrases like, are, how are you? How's the fam? Have a nice day. And where's the barbecue?
Where's the barbecue? That's what made me laugh. It's all like normal. Then it's like, where's the barbecue?
No, right? She does have a few. The know-it-all about blacks, black.
Yeah.
Avoid do talking and don't bother trying to change this black's mind about anything.
Yep. Yep, that's the one. That's the
honestly,
one.
Honestly, I think if she had written it like a couple of years later, she might have put in a hotep.
Oh, right. And I was actually, when I was reading that, I was thinking about that season of
Dear White People.
Of Dear White People. Because didn't she make a cameo in the beginning? Was it that,
well, I mean,
the second
it was
season
the,
or the first season?
No, it's the very, very first season when they were talking about like different types of black people on that campus of their of Winchester University, which is like the first school that they go to. And she was just in the background. I want to say she was like maybe one of the computer nerds or something. I almost missed it completely because she didn't have a line
totally
or anything.
It.
She was just like in the background back there. And I was like, oh my God, that's Issa.
Yeah, and that's it was also crazy. her old body.
Yes, very much so. Like her old body before Insecure,
season
maybe
two.
Exactly, maybe even Awkward Black Girl. Which, can I just tell you, I've just rewatched that entire thing.
I want to.
It is hilarious. I forgot about Cece and her hip hop dancing lesson.
How could you forget about Cece? I want to see
my
DJ
God,
Whispers.
And White Jay.
Yeah, White Jay, Black Jay.
Now that was a problem because I was watching that at work and I was trying so hard not to randomly laugh. It'd be like nice and quiet and I'd be like, no, I can't believe she just said that. That one is a
classic.
Yeah,
that show was hilarious.
Oh, it was so good. And then, oh my God, I had forgotten completely about that episode. You remember like that woman who was her nemesis who was trying to get like the black guy? Damn, I can't remember his name. Because she liked the new black guy that started at the company. And then it turns out he was friends with White Jay. But then there was a girl who was like her nemesis, who was kind of her supervisor, but kind of not. And then when their stupid white boss, who every week would try to come in with a new black hairstyle. Yo,
oh
if that woman, first of all, that woman looks just like the woman who is in charge of We Got Y'all. And
that's
reminded
her.
Me, is that her?
Yeah, that's her.
Okay, because I was like, it looks just like
that's
her.
Some of them are in there. Some of them are in the show. That she's there.
That's
right.
Cece
was there one time. The white girl. Yeah, huh?
No, I was just saying that's her. Just she's older now, and that's probably why I didn't recognize
her.
Yeah,
a while ago.
Definitely age. Not so great there. I can say that. But I was like, oh, it kind of looks like her. Like maybe it could be her sister or something. But that makes total sense that would be her.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Yeah, of course. And Cece played one of her coworkers at We Got Y'all. But her nemesis, that one week when the
Nina?
Boss was gone. Is that her name? name? I think that's her name. That one week the boss was gone and they made it look, she was like, oh, now you're pledging. And she had all of those pledges come in and they had to call her like Big Sister Nina or something like that. And they were all like hiding through the office just to get away from her. My God, it was hilarious. I highly recommend going back and rewatching Awkward Black Girl because it was too funny.
She was like the light skinned girl.
Yes.
Yeah, I think her name was Nina. That show was hilarious.
And like nobody could understand what he was. I think his name was Darius or something. DJ Whispers.
DJ Whispers. Yes.
He would talk like
now that. He's the neighbor.
Yeah.
Well, he was the neighbor, yeah.
The Crip.
That was hilarious.
The fact that only his friend could understand what he was saying, like he'd say stuff in the meeting, like, I'm super sure. And he'd be like, yeah, no, Darius is right. We should blah, blah, blah. And you're like, what?
Yeah, you heard all of that?
Or like that time when he was DJing the birthday party and he's like, all right. And even with the mic, you couldn't understand him.
He still couldn't hear him.
Couldn't hear a word.
A good show.
Such a good show. She definitely harkened back to some of the things from Awkward Black Girl for Insecure. Right. Like at one point when she used to do that thing where she'd be like, oh, well, what if this happened and what if that happened? Then she'd do these alternate scenarios. And I think at one point she was thinking like maybe one of the dates she could go on with White Jay would be to like a slave exhibition or something. And all I could think about was, you remember, like, I think it was either season one or two when they had that, like, in-world, the TV show that they used to watch was, like, the slave show.
Oh.
On Insecure.
What was that show?
Oh, man, I can't remember what he's like.
But this was on Dear White People.
No, you remember how, like, on Insecure, they used to be like, oh, I gotta go watch this show. And they, the show that they used to watch was a slave show. That was Insecure, wasn't it?
Was it Insecure?
It was with like Regina Hall and Scott Foley like pretending.
Good call on the Regina.
Yes. I remember the correct Regina.
I think it's true because they made a comment. What's the one that was always eating something? That black guy. He's like, hey, Issa.
Oh.
His name. The friend.
Chad?
Chad.
Chad?
Yeah, he admitted to liking the show.
Right, and at the end, yeah, he's like, I just love it. But
I think that was Dear White People.
Mm-mm. Now that I remember, Natasha Rothwell actually ended up writing that whole show within a show with, I forgot who the other guy was. But I'm like 99% sure it was Insecure. But because I think the one for
Dear White People
is the one where they're in P. Ninny with Lena Waithe. It was like a reality show. That was the one that was on Dear White People.
They were two different ones. They weren't watching the same show each season.
Well, so the other one that they used to watch was one that was kind of based on what's Kerry Washington's show?
Scandal.
So the first season was them watching an in-show based on like Scandal, remember?
Yeah, the character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting all these shows confused now.
I know. I thought it was actually interesting that they both did that same trope of a show within a show.
Right. I wonder if they have the same writers.
Yeah. Or just
they
all
kind of
like know each other, you know what I mean? So they both kind of like that idea. I just can't remember who came first. I want to say it was Insecure before Dear White People.
Right.
Because I don't remember them doing a show within a show on the Dear White People movie.
True. All good questions. Maybe one of you guys could answer it for us because we don't know. Oh, well, Mitzi's 99% sure, so maybe she knows, but.
Well, let's see. Okay, so for sure, the one on Insecure was called Due North.
Yeah, that I remember.
So I think that was the one that was the
slave one.
Yes, exactly.
Because it was like a party of North and South, I believe, which I remember that show.
Yes. Oh, look at that. So Ben Corey Jones, was, I think he wrote it with Natasha Rothwell. That's what it was. One of the two Insecure writers tasked with developing the show within a show. But you'll also see Due North, the show within the show, the other Insecure writer behind the project. So Ben Corey Jones, who writes on Insecure, is the executive producer and showrunner of Boomerang. Did you watch it?
No, not yet. That's what I'm doing on my 3-day weekend.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we're recording this on Sunday. I ended up watching the first two, I guess there was only two episodes, the two episodes, and I'm like, I can get behind this. I can definitely get behind this, yeah.
Well, Lena Waithe basically can do no wrong.
I know, right?
After executive Chicago, producer of or that. The Shy, rather.
Yeah, I like how it's not like completely a reboot, but it's more in that universe.
Yeah.
And when you look at the credits, what I didn't realize is based on characters created by Eddie Murphy.
Oh, I didn't know he created those characters.
Yeah, me neither. I was like, oh, nice. That's pretty cool.
And in fact, residuals. That reminds me of like another interesting section in Issa's book where she talks about how the 90s, there were so many good like black shows and black movies that kind of inspired her to want to go into television and film.
Mm-hmm.
Like A Different World, like The Cosby Show, like Love and Basketball, like mm-hmm. Boomerang.
Martin, I think she
said,
all of those.
I want to say she said the last movie with like an all black cast back then, I think it was Love and Basketball, she said.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God, that's true.
If yeah, it wasn't but it's that... true. There were a whole bunch. The Brothers.
Yeah.
The like Brothers, I was on BET and they were playing Love The Jones. Brothers. Yeah, Love Jones. That's a like classic.
Waiting then, to Exhale.
Oh yeah, that was another one that they were playing, Waiting to Exhale. I forgot that Gregory Hines was what's that woman's name? I love her so much too. She was from In Dreamgirls.
Loretta Devine.
That's it, Loretta Devine, and she didn't know what to do with herself because like here's this handyman.
He's loving
he's like,
her.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
And Donald Faison played her son.
Yes.
Yes.
So good. But there it's were true. Some good there movies. Were some. And they were all kind of like around the same time. And then, like Kaiser Soze, they fucking disappeared.
Yeah, something totally happened. I remember looking forward to seeing movies.
Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of TV shows at the time as well.
Yeah, Living Single.
Living Single. There was Martin. So good. There was even the one, what was it called? Was it called like Rock or something like that?
Oh, Rock, yeah, with that chubby guy.
Yes.
Yeah,
I was
like called Rock.
His name.
I think his name was Rocky something. No, was it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think his name for sure was Rock, and I think that's why they based the name of the show on that. But I'm like, yeah, what happened to all of those?
Yeah. The Bushes did it.
So sad.
It was sad. Yeah, it was weird how they just all disappeared.
Yeah, like, all of a sudden, nobody's greenlighting these anymore because, what, they didn't think it worked? I'm like, I think all those
But they
movies...
did.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think all those movies did well. And it's
No,
ridiculous.
I think somebody was like, these Negroes are feeling themselves and building confidence.
So we need to shut that
we
down.
We need to reel it back.
Shut it down, shut it down.
And create reality shows.
Too
and make
many
them
reality
look stupid.
Shows.
Yeah, that's so weird.
It's a doggone anyway. Shame. I hear they're doing another Coming to America.
Ooh.
They're doing a Coming to America 2.
That was one.
That was another. Yep, yeah, that was another one. With Zamunda.
Yeah.
Zamunda, Wakanda. Wakanda forever. Yesterday was the 1-year anniversary of Black Panther coming out.
1 year.
Can't believe it. But yeah, like I think they're doing like a second Coming to America. But I'm like, look, we've got lots of black folks now in Hollywood making moves, getting the attention, getting things green light. Let's create new things. And even if it's based on old things, I like
make them
new
better.
Fresh concepts. Exactly. Like the way Boomerang is, it's in that universe because it's the son and the daughter of Eddie Murphy and Halle Berry's characters.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, their legacy and the agency that the two of them started together. Right, yeah. Exactly. So I'm like, that's a great, fresh new take.
Concept.
I'm down. And then, of course, you've got our future friend Friday that we had, Marseille Martin.
Oh my God, yes.
A little boss at like freaking what, 14? I freaking love it. She already has, of course, Littles coming out in April. Can't wait for that. But now she has that first look deal at Universal and already has like another movie coming out at the end of the year. I think called like Stepmother or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm like, you just better go ahead and make that move, girl.
get that out there. I actually saw Taraji's movie What Men Want.
I went to go see it and it was sold out. So I ended up seeing Lego Movie 2 instead, which is a huge disappointment. How was it?
I mean, it was cute. I thought it could have been deeper. Like, it could have, like, I don't know. I just felt like it was nice. Like, sorry, that wasn't really much of an explanation. I just felt like they could have got into more of, like, her ability to hear thoughts a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then how it kind of developed at the end, or wrapped up at the end, I felt like we missed something. Like, my boy Schmitty from New Girl was in there.
I like that actor,
I like him too. And I wish I saw more from him in the movie. And at the end, I don't know if you plan on seeing it.
I do want to see it. Yeah, I do want to try to see it.
But like, yeah, if you do see it, I just feel like the ending, like, you could tell he's a good actor and character. Mm-hmm. And I'm waiting for him to have more of a feature in the film because I know his resume. And then at the end, he has, like, a prominent role. And I'm like, huh? How'd that happen?
Right. It's like, almost like it wasn't they developed. Edited some stuff out, maybe.
Oh, maybe they did that.
Yeah.
Or they just didn't go into, I don't know, I thought it could, or even, like, her friend, her girlfriends, like, mm-hmm. their stories a little bit more. I don't know. It was okay. I feel like it missed the mark on some things.
Interesting. I wonder if it could very well be editing, because they plan all these things in the movie, and then it has exposition and all that stuff when you're in the script, and then like when you're actually shooting it, or maybe they didn't have time to shoot a scene or something like that, or they shot it and then they're like, oh, the movie's too long, and then they cut it. But then like when you look back, you're like, wait, we really needed the scene that you left on the cutting room floor, because that would have explained things,
right? Or at least would have added dimension to certain characters,
right?
What's his name from SNL was in it, and he was like weird.
Which one?
Pete Davidson.
He always plays weird, though.
But he was playing normal. He was actually playing like a not a weird person per se, but he just came off very weird. weird. He actually reminded me of the guy from that show Is it Newcastle? That story that I was watching that was scary, but not scary. I think it was Newcastle. Hmm. He reminded me of that main character, like the weird one that everyone kept dying around. But it wasn't a dark film, so why is he giving off serial killer murderer vibes?
Right,
when it's supposed to be a comedy. It was just weird.
I don't know. He was in another movie that I watched on Netflix, and he was supposed to be like the guy's gay roommate, but he was.
Oh yeah, he also played a gay in this movie.
Did he? Interesting.
Yeah.
That's like weird.
A closeted gay.
Oh, so in that one he's closeted. In the one that I saw, he was gay, but it was like, no big deal. I'm really a bro who just happens to be gay, or I don't know. It was like a weird take on it. Mm. Like, I guess it was like, I want to be as non-flamboyant as possible, so right. I'm going to be like football dude.
They're probably like, we want to create a new narrative surrounding our gay character. Mm-hmm. So we're going to make him a straight guy. But, like, I don't know.
But yeah, exactly. Mostly straight, but really
kind of gay.
Still sleeps with dudes. I don't know. I was just like, this weird. Also, I'm like, you could probably just gotten a gay guy to play this. You didn't really need Pete Davidson. He didn't add anything to the cast. Didn't add any cachet to casting him.
I think he has like a following that wants to see him in anything. I don't know.
Maybe.
He's an interesting one.
Maybe.
Sorry. He has on headphones, so it's like, he doesn't know when he's being so loud.
He's just like, tell him, B. Tell him.
Are you listening to something or are you watching something? It's just weird because all of a sudden it's quiet and I'm recording with Mitzi, and then all of a sudden you're like, tell him, B. Tell him, B. Anyway.
Oh, anywho. I did want to say, if we could take a moment to get some ghetto action news here. Did you actually, you know how like the last time we were talking about how Bow Wow got into a fight with his girlfriend and he got like, he looked like he had gotten like completely jacked by her?
Yeah.
This was before I had seen the video of them in the elevator. Did you see them in the elevator?
No.
There was like, I guess TM, maybe it was she TMZ beating him up? Or something. No, what's interesting is in the video, he's the one that's like in her face, grabbing her arm.
He still got beat up.
Taking off his jacket like he's going to do something. And
I'm not laughing.
And she's, laughing. I don't know. And she's just kind of like calm as can be and like completely just, you know, trying to like, off. Yeah, exactly. Letting him go off or whatever. There's another guy in the elevator who's kind of trying to stand between them, but kind of not. And he's just like getting in her face, yelling at her. And this is supposed to have happened like right before they got into the fight where he's taking the key from her and telling her to like get out or whatever. But I'm like, he's saying that he's the one who like got attacked. And she's like, yeah, no, he was already mad when he got into the elevator and she was just defending herself. And I'm like, I don't know. It don't look good. But you like completely all in her face. Like it wouldn't take much for people to suppose that like, as soon as you got off of that elevator that you were like, okay, we're not in an elevator no more with a camera. Another I'm about dude. To beat your ass.
Right.
Crazy.
In any event, he lost.
Yes, he did. Definitely. From what we could see for sure. And then also, did you hear about Ryan Adams?
No.
I saw something on Twitter where it says that he's being investigated for a bunch of like not sexual assault, but like,
wait, can we rewind? Ryan Adams, who was he again?
He's a singer.
Oh, okay, like that quirky looking nerd dude.
Yes, exactly.
Wasn't he married to
Mandy Moore?
They're not anymore, right?
No, she divorced him. Wait, or they got divorced, I should say, yeah. But there was a report in the New York Times where several women, including one of them who's underage, accusing him of emotional and psychological abuse, harassment, inappropriate, and manipulative behavior. And the thing is, like, one of the things that they're investigating him for is all of this explicit communication with an underage girl where, like, she was, like, I think from 14 to 16. And, like, at one point, he even says, like, oh, my God, if people knew, they'd call me R. Kelly.
He actually said that?
Well, according to this.
Wow.
I'm like, seriously?
Wow. Yep. Well, that's pretty crazy. Gross.
So crazy. Another message. That's it. Another message allegedly read. If people knew, they would say I was like R. Kelly.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, so then how can you turn around and say that you didn't know how old she was? Why would you reference R. Kelly and his predatory pedophilic type behavior?
Alleged. Mm-hmm. Right.
Alleged. Exactly. Full of it. I can't. And then did you see Monique on Steve Harvey?
I feel like I didn't see the whole... I saw something. But I feel like I didn't see the key pieces. Does that make sense? Like, I saw them talking.
Yeah.
And he was like... Because what I got away from the clip that I saw, that he was basically rooting for her and they were friends, but he just didn't like the way
she went about things.
But then somebody was saying how they saw a snippet where you're like, he's basically telling her to just deal with certain things just so she can get money.
That's right. So she can get make that bank, and how he, you know, doesn't react for some things. Because he knows that he has to feed his kids and his grandkids and all the rest of it. So that sometimes your integrity is not as worth it if you can get a paycheck, basically. I was like, oh, my God. And just he's like not even letting her get a word in edgewise, like yelling at her. And then at one point he like grabs her hands or grabs her arm like, excuse me, sir.
I have to watch it. Listen, everybody has their limit. That's very real. Like, there might be some things you might just have to shut up and take because you feel like your life or your livelihood might depend on it. It sucks. But that's kind of a real, honest.
I mean,
I don't know what it was. I'm going to have to go back and watch it. But I feel like just hearing that, I'm like, you know, there's some things that you have to kind of swallow because.
Yeah, but I do think that while that's definitely true, I think everyone should be able to decide what that is for them. You know
themselves,
what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because the situation they're talking about there is the fact that, like, when Precious was happening, how I think it was Lee Daniels, like Lee Daniels and Oprah and all the rest of them, wanted her to promote the film,
right?
And didn't want to pay her for it. Now, on the one hand, I'm like, from what I understand with these contracts and all the rest of it, that's usually built into your contract that not only are you going to do this role, but, press, you know, you'll do press and you'll do marketing, all the stuff, you know. And you do have some say in what you do and what you don't do. But it seemed like she maybe wanted, like, additional money on top of that. And truthfully, I don't know. I don't know that Precious was supposed to be that big a movie, so maybe that wasn't written into her contract. And she thought it was just going to be like this little
role. It was an independent film.
There you go. So it was an independent film, and maybe it wasn't written in there. And she wanted more money, and they didn't give it to her. And then, of course, you know, she started talking about them. And then she feels like after that, after she won that Oscar, she was blackballed because of it. And he was basically saying that, like, well, you know, maybe you should have shut up about it, and you could have gotten some more work. And I'm like,
interesting.
I don't know if that's for you to say. You don't know all the ins and outs of that situation. And maybe she felt like, and maybe we don't know. I mean,
didn't Kevin Hart do something similar?
Where he refused to do.
He wanted to get paid for doing press, my publicity. I feel like there was a hack into Sony Pictures, I think it was.
Oh, yeah, it was Sony.
An email of an executive calling him a not so nice name. I don't remember. I'm not going to say it was the N-word or whatever.
Right.
But kind of like saying something like, that little bastard wants money to do press. Like, who does he think he is?
Interesting. I don't remember that. So, but it sounds, definitely sounds plausible, because I do remember that break. And I remember that, sorry, that leak. And I remember there were a lot of
a greedy whore. They called him a greedy whore because he wanted
additional money.
He thought he deserved more than $3 million to tweet and things about the movie.
More than $3 million. So they did pay him extra, but he wanted more money than what they were paying him?
I think so.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, they wanted him to tweet about the movie. I think they just wanted him to tweet about the movie. Mm-hmm. And he wanted, maybe he got paid $3 million to do the movie. And then they wanted him to tweet about it, and he wanted money to tweet.
Got it.
Yeah. He wanted more money to go on social media, in addition to the $3 million that he was already being paid to do the movie.
Interesting. Well, you know what? Maybe he initially didn't think that that $3 million was enough money for the role that he was taking. I don't know. I don't know how they decide these things, but I do know that there's a lot more involved, if you will. Like, sometimes people just assume that you're going to be able to get this person to do this, and it's like, no, I have this obligation or that obligation, or, you know,
what I would think you. It was like in their best interest. It would be in his or her best interest to promote their film, whether they were being paid or not, so that the film did well, so that it got Oscar buzz, so that it, you know, so it opened doors to do other things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true, and I can totally see that as well. I mean, of course, they don't get any additional money when, unless it was written into their contract, they don't get any additional money if the movie becomes huge. Mm-hmm. And you also have to hope that if the movie becomes huge, that you do get those additional opportunities. You don't always. You know what I mean?
Like, but isn't that, to me, like, I mean, again, I'm not in the industry, but I would assume that if somebody paid X amount of dollars to see you in this movie, and you promoted it and everybody got out to see it, then people will be more likely to hire you for the next movie or to produce whatever the hell you want, because they feel like you have a pulse on what's happening and you can make them money
and people
along the way.
Right. I totally get that, but none of that is guaranteed.
Well, nothing is, yeah.
That is not guaranteed so much as a paycheck is guaranteed. You pay me this specific amount of money for me to do this. And I know that, you know, I totally agree with you. It makes perfect sense that you would want the movie to do well. Obviously, the bigger the movie, the better the box office, and then you're a box office draw. And people want to go see you in the movie, and then that continues to build buzz, so on and so forth. Basically, Kevin Hart's career, you know, like, one movie does well, then the next one, and all of a sudden, he's in freaking every movie.
Right.
Every movie. So I totally get that. on the other hand, it doesn't always work.
Right. And that's a gamble you take. That's why you're an artist. Like, you can make a painting, but everybody's not going to buy it. They may likely buy it when you're dead, if you're any good at all. So I feel like that's part of, like,
the
idea, right, a trade-off for you living the dream and getting paid $3 million. Well, most, you know, to do a role.
For a couple of months, yeah.
Right. So.
To play pretend.
I don't know. Exactly. Real, you know, I don't know. And I can't, I mean, unless they were, like, asking her to pay to fly herself to these press junkets and to do this.
Yeah. Which, I don't know, because you said it was an independent movie, right?
It was, because I, you know how I know, because their costume designer came into our store, the store I was working in, and I'm not going to name them because they're not very nice, but to rent glasses, oh, I probably just gave it away a little bit,
well,
things for the production company.
Ah, yeah,
and I,
okay.
And I recognized the costume designer's name because I had met her years before. And she was working on, she was about to start working on Sex and the City, and she was nice to me at then, and she told me to contact her, and I never did.
Oh no!
And so when I saw her name again at this other place where she was doing the same exact thing, I was like, holy moly, I know you. She's like, oh, you never called. And I was like,
oh my God, she said that too? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Did you call her after that?
Did I call her after that? I feel like I did, but she was working on like another independent film.
Okay.
But not like one nearly as, they had like zero budget.
Right.
And I went down to the set because I think by then Precious was done.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I did, but it didn't really pan out to anything.
Oh, okay.
Got it's kind of when I realized that I don't think I have the spirit to do like the freelancing.
It's not an easy gig. It's not an easy world. It really, I think you have, it's not for everyone. It's definitely not for everyone, I think. Because there's so much that you have to, like, there's the trade-off of the freedom to be able to work when you want and all the rest of it is the constant worry of, like, where's the next job going to come from? And do you have enough to tide you over in between? And
then there was a lot of working for free, too.
Yes, in order to build your
resume.
People
not wanting to pay you. And we live in New York City, like, how the hell am I supposed to be here for 8 hours? You know, sometimes call times are like 5 a.m. or whatever.
Right, right, right.
And not go to like a regular job so I could pay my bills.
Right, to like completely just to put further something that up. Dream. Yeah. It's why people talk
about. It's a gamble.
About, yeah, but it's also one of those things where it makes it difficult. Like if you don't have someone like helping / subsidizing in order to get into some of these industries. Because there is a lot of unpaid work, if you will, to pay your dues in order to get as high as you want to be or as high as you want to get. You know, it takes a while to get to that point where you can actually sustain yourself in the chosen field.
Yeah.
And, you know, that part of getting there, that's the hard part. It's not always, oh, you know, I don't have the talent or the ambition to do it. Sometimes just don't literally cannot survive. Don't have the financial wherewithal to be able to pursue it.
Totes. So yeah, that's another thing. I'm like, I can't keep working for free at this point. I'd like to have a real doctor, you know, examine my vagina and, you know, or have a physical. For the longest time, I never had a physical.
Oh God.
Because I had no health insurance because I was not really doing anything. Anyway.
Definitely tough.
But can we get into this Jussie Smollett stuff?
Oh yes. Let's talk about that because I am confused as to what is happening right now. Because obviously you guys know that he was attacked a couple of weeks ago and they're still sort of like working with him to sort of find out what happened. And then they arrested two guys.
Yeah.
But then they let them go and now he's a person of interest and they're saying that he was an active participant.
Yeah, they arrested these two guys. They were like, one is this personal trainer and his brother who had been extras on the show. But then they ended up letting them go. And they're saying that, they're never saying that. The tone is that they think that he had something to do with his own attack. Mm-hmm, like he staged
his
it.
Own assault.
Right. But I feel like in the beginning for me, I felt. Can you hear my mom singing?
Yes.
God damn it.
Look, guys, you know what? This is what we do. You know, this is the real. It's a struggle sometimes to bring you this podcast. And sometimes that struggle includes
a random Haitian woman singing church songs
while she's doing Sunday.
Yeah, whatever. But yeah, so anyway, in the beginning, I felt like it was weird. The tone of like the people who were supposed to be helping him was kind of weird.
Yes, because I thought they were complaining. Same thing.
Okay, I thought it was just me. In fact,
no,
I was
talking to
our resident attorney, Midland Charles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
AKA. And yeah. I was like, she was like, I don't know, it's the police. Like, why would they? And I was like, I don't know. Like, they asked for his cell phone.
Right.
He gave it to them, but then they were like, oh, well, it's not enough because we need to see all the history in your cell phone because I guess
he was the one attacked. So I don't understand why you would need his cell phone in the first place.
It's so let's say you do need his cell phone to corroborate that he was, because apparently he was on the phone with Lee Daniels or somebody while the attack took place. So once you verify that that was the case, why do you need to see anything else?
Right.
And to the first thing that came to my mind, I don't know if you guys saw the Versace movie.
Oh, the limited series on FX?
Yeah, on the FX. And the whole investigation was kind of, the tone of the investigation was kind of like, well, he was this gay man. Mm-hmm. He was inviting all these different men into his life. Mm-hmm. Like, that's part of the cult, that's part of the lifestyle. It's a choice, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Now, instead of trying to find out who did this, you're trying to find out what he may have particularly done in his life while living his openly gay lifestyle.
That led him to have
bought
this
upon himself.
Yes. Right. Yes, because you know it's so funny.
The whole time.
Me too, because I actually tweeted this the other day that like, how come every time I hear about it on the news, because I listen to the news in the morning, I don't really watch the news that much, but every time I would hear them talk about the story on the AM radio when I was listening to it, the tone was always like, yeah, this alleged assault.
Yeah, and
this, everything was in quotation marks. Like,
right.
Nobody and I believes get that, that this alleged. Happened.
Right. And I get that's alleged because now you want to be a credible news outlet, right? Because if it was anything else, you just report it. Who cares? All willy-nilly with your opinions.
Yeah, y'all
and all.
Don't do that with the rest of the stories, though. That's what I'm
exactly.
saying. Like, you don't do that with the rest of the stories. But this one in particular, it stood out to me because, and that's what I tweeted. I was like, why does it feel like these media outlets don't even believe that it happened? And then, let's just talk about some of the hateful tweets that I got for that tweet. I was like, we will promptly be blocking your homophobic racist ass right now. But
wow,
yeah, that one was surprising to me. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised because Twitter is like crazy.
It's always a surprise when you get personally attacked for your opinion.
Exactly. So
yeah, man. Okay, so it's not just me.
No, it wasn't. It's not. And I just
and now he's being trolled by Eric Trump or whatever the Trump one of the sons. He had to. I just saw recently that he had to block him because he was commenting.
Oh,
on
really?
His Twitter. Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm like, this is why people don't come forward when they're raped. This is why people don't come forward when things happen to them because no one cares.
Not only and do so they the not care, they blame the victim. They blame the victim.
The argument was, oh, it's Chicago. I'm like, it doesn't matter. He's gay. Like, no, it's not. Let's be real. No one gives a fuck about Black people, children. Black women or gays. Like, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad you co-signed that because I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, this no.
It feels weird.
It definitely does. It just feels like the whole time, except for like maybe the first day it was reported, everything since then has been, you know, this alleged assault, though no, you know, though all the cameras and all the video, nothing shows the attack. And there's no evidence and there's no this and there's no that. And I'm like, what?
Okay. Yeah.
It's just definitely the way that it has been worded has definitely been on the, we don't really believe this, but yeah, let's go ahead and report it anyway.
And let's and every little thing is like coming out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, agreed. You're definitely not the only one.
And I say all that to say that, listen, Smollett, I defended your ass. I will feel a real certain kind of way if it turns out that he did make it up, although I don't even see why anybody could make him up.
But
could,
why could make would it? You?
That's like, what would you gain from it?
Like, what do you? What would you actually gain from that?
Right. You have a great platform where you're able to, like, talk about, you know, gay issues, Black issues. Like, he doesn't need to call attention to himself in that kind of way by lying, I don't think.
At all. At least. And it also, it's, like, a crime. Like, did you really jeopardize everything that you got going on?
And commit a crime,
Yeah, like, really? Because, I mean, not only would you get arrested, probably spend some jail time, probably lose your show. Like, what? Yeah, like, it just seems definitely reckless, foolhardy behavior. And right. I don't know, with a family that big, that right? many siblings, I'd be like, somebody would be like, oh, hell no. What you thinking?
Right, you played yourself. Exactly. What's the sister's name? Journey?
Journey, yeah.
Yeah, she looked like she was Second Street.
Exactly. They have a big family, lots of siblings. I feel like anybody who even got an inkling of some such nonsense.
Foolishness,
like,
yeah.
Right, exactly.
Wish that him right.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm definitely going to keep an eye on it, but you are not wrong in, regardless of what the outcome is, you are not wrong in the way that it has been reported, because it has, I think it has been reported as though it wasn't true and that nobody believes him. Garbage, I tell you. Anywho, we are going to, I think we should go ahead and wrap it up. You've got to get to Brooklyn. I've got to get to editing.
I got to get to some, I've been hankering for some sweet chicks. Free publications. Yeah.
I am so jalouse, because I'm convinced that the one in Brooklyn is better than the one here in LA.
Probably. You know, our border is tight. It's possible.
I've been to both, and I'm telling you, the one in Brooklyn is definitely better.
All right. Which one? Williamsburg or?
I only went to the one in Williamsburg.
Okay. I'm going to go to the one in Prospect Heights, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that they opened more locations. Go on them.
Oh, yeah. There's one in Long Island City. There's one in Lower East Side.
Wait a minute. I know we have to go, but I just read a story about a Roosevelt Middle School in Nassau County. Long Island? Yeah, in Long Island, where these teachers made a display that, like, had all kinds of different nooses on them. Yeah. And then also passed out dolls with nooses on them to, like, the black kids in the school? Like,
you know, my, the husband, the French, was talking about this. He was telling me about this. But I didn't really hear, I didn't understand what he was saying. He was trying to explain it. And then we ended up talking about the town and the school district. So, what happened?
Yeah, I don't even understand why they would even have this display, but apparently it's definitely three teachers. I saw the picture, and it was just, like, a whole bunch of, like, nooses and stuff, and then it said, ha-ha, and, like, wow on it. I didn't see the dolls that had the nooses around their necks that were also given out to some of the children. But I'm like, really? Because I gotta tell you, Black History Month 2019, I'm ready to reschedule. Yeah, somebody was like, do it in May. May is National Bike Month. Let's go ahead and switch it to May of this year. Because it has been utter trash.
Between Virginia blackface.
Oh my God, how much blackface?
This foolishness.
There has been so much foolishness. There's the Gucci freaking...
Yes. And I'm so mad at them.
I'm not even laughing, but... It's just like, are you fucking kidding me? It's 2019. It's 2019 and we still doing this?
And as much as these Negroes out here in these streets rocking Gucci,
okay,
nobody, whoever's handing out Gucci, okay, fine, they're saying they're paying for it. But come on. You see who's rocking your stuff, who's supporting you. You freaking have a collaboration with, like, a Harlem legend. Dapper Dan, and you didn't think to run this by somebody before you created this freaking sweater?
Let's talk about, like, probably who's in the room coming up with some of this stuff and who has to approve some of this stuff. And then also think about, like, what you were just saying before about some of the things that you need to swallow at work just to keep said job. So maybe lower down on the totem pole, somebody was like, you know what? I wouldn't go with this, but if I say something,
this is not a good idea.
Or are they going to listen?
Right. Pierpaolo, let me talk to you for a moment.
Exactly.
This thing with the sweater, it's not a good idea.
Exactly.
Tell Chiara to cancel. No, it's true.
You.
I mean, personally, if something dumb like that happened at my job, I've been in a position in the past, I think, where a product for hair was going to be called, this is for Afro hair, and I have to say, no, like, nothing. Or there was also a product that was like, this is for skin bright lightening. And I'm like, no. They were surprised that a lightening product wasn't moving so much in the US. And I was like, personally, lightening sounds like There's a problem with your skin because it's dark and we need to fix it. And while this is not Asia, and I know that's big in the Asia market, that's not popping over here. You need to change it to like brightening, to other code words.
Right. To mask what you're selling.
Yeah.
Mask what you're doing here.
But it's not even cute. It's a turtleneck with big old lips on it. Like, what's happening?
You I know. That's the other thing. It's absolutely also fucking hideous.
Ridiculous. Prada did something similar to not too long ago. They created a mythical creature.
Mm-hmm. With that look real brown with big lips. I'm like.
Yes. Exaggerated.
And was that not this month too? That's what I'm saying. Throw it all away.
It might have been this month. Yeah.
Fucking schedule. I want to do over.
To reset. Yeah.
I'm picking another month.
Super Bowl.
Something. J-Lo doing the Motown tribute at the Grammys. Like, what throw in it the whole away. Entire
Saison fuck was that? What in the oh boy was that shit? Like, come on.
Exactly. Girl. Come on. Yeah, I want a do-over.
Yeah, we deserve that.
We do deserve. We do deserve our things. And this month was not it. All right. Anyway, so we will just say, please go to our website, whatsheonabout.com, where you'll find links to our Twitter and our Instagram. Follow us there at the WSOA show. If you want to send us emails, you can email us at the WSOA show at gmail.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Please go ahead and reach out. And of course, we'll just ask you guys to please rate and review and subscribe on iTunes. We do really love reading the reviews, love hearing from you guys. And of course, we have to end the show. We always end the show, I should say, with an earworm.
We do.
And I don't know, do you have an earworm right now? So I know what mine is, and it is a throwback.
Is it? Yes. Let's go with yours. What? Because I can't remember the name of mine right now.
Oh, okay. Well, my throwback is like from Jason's lyric, another movie. That was another movie. Back that in the was day, that was probably ooh, do you also remember that, remember sex that scene one.
Yes. In the grass.
In the grass.
Holy Moses! Like that was some. Yeah, I was really.
Although I have to say, Black I love. Was a little distracted by the naps on his butt.
the taco beef on his culo. Yeah.
That did distract me a little bit. But nevertheless, I like
the little light-skinned 90s Negro.
I tell you what, they were definitely hot in indie streets and popping. But that soundtrack had this song called You Will Know that had like every male R&B singer at the time on that track. And it just came on my iPod the other day. And like, I've been playing it over and over again. I mean, Brian McKnight, nice. Gerald Levert, Tevin Campbell. Yo, everybody was on makers. This. Yes, everyone was on it. I think they called themselves Black Men United.
Nice.
And
that's nice. God, that's it was a nice. Great track.
You that's... will know. All of them doing their riffs. It was good. It was so good. And like, literally, it's my literal earworm right now. Like, I cannot get it out of my head.
Yeah, well, that sounds fun.
Then we will leave you with You Will Know by Black Men United. From it's the Jason's throwback. Lyric soundtrack, which I gotta go find that movie and watch that again. It's a good one.
It was.
Anywho, guys, we will chat with you later. Bye bye now.
Toodles.